Amen. Amen. Good morning to the saints of God who assembled here at Stony Island. How are you doing today? Blessed. So is someone highly favored today? Amen. Amen. It's truly a blessing to be before you in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to preach the Word of God, and particularly His gospel to those who may not know Christ in the pardon of their sins. We pray that that you would perhaps when the gospel message is heard, that it will prick your heart today, and that you would obey the gospel at that time. We'd like to thank the leadership of this congregation for your invitation. It's truly a privilege and truly a great privilege just to be here this morning with you all. I was telling Brother Jackson that I have perhaps some roots that come from this congregation, the Gardner family. I don't know if any of you may be aware of them, Lula Gardner, who was a co-worker of mine back in the 90s. She was a member of this congregation, and at that time, as you heard my bio, I hadn't yet obeyed the gospel. But just from her conversations that I had with her, really inspired me, really pricked my heart, really had me to question some of the things that she was saying, and knowing that what she said truly had truth to it. We eventually lost Lula Gardner sometime thereafter that, but my heart still holds a place for her, knowing that she came from this congregation. So for me, it's truly a wonderful thing just to be here in your presence, because there with Lula, the seed was planted. God sent her to me, and I thank God for her, and I thank God for this great congregation, and to Brother Jackson, and Brother Burnside, and Brother Carter, the leaders of this congregation, your shepherds and your servant minister. I thank you for your invitation and just to just the opportunity for me to entrust me with feeding the flock of God on this great day. At this time, if you have your your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and if you're willing and able to, we ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word at this time. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read it for emphasis' sake, and then we'll get into our lesson for this morning. Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading from verses 28 to verse 30. If you dare, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible reads on this wise. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, as He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom did He predestinate? Them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of His holy word for the edification of our souls. Amen. The topic of our lesson for today is, don't deter your destiny. Don't deter your destiny. I'm going to pause for the cause for a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Let us all bow. Abba, Father, Most High God, Lord, we humbly come before You on this great day, this Lord's Day, this day that You've made, Father. We want to say thank You, Father, for our early morning rising, for bringing us here, all here safely into this assembly place. We thank you, Father, for the great leadership of this congregation, Father. We thank you for each and every member who thought it not robbery to be here on this great day. Father, we pray, dear Father, as your word goes forth, that it would not return void. We pray, Father, that perhaps someone today would be inspired by your word. Someone today would be encouraged by your word. Perhaps somebody today, Father, will be challenged by your word. We pray, Father, that perhaps someone's heart will be pricked today, that they may come forward and say, what must I do today to be saved? Lord, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus Christ, above all, who died on that cruel cross on Calvary like a criminal to redeem us all from the bondage of sin so that we all can enjoy the sweet communion that we enjoy with you today. Father, we love you. We thank you. Forgive us, Father, of our many sins, knowing we sin against you. This is our prayer. We pray in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, as well as in the mighty, mighty precious name of your darling son, Jesus' name, that we pray this prayer. Amen. And amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Don't deter your destiny. Saints, it shouldn't come to a surprise for those who have been born of the water and the Spirit to know that we will be confronted by many, many and various types of issues in our lives in one way or another. Can I get a witness today, saints? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, saints, we need to guard our hearts with diligence, because there are events and situations that affect our lives. There are events and situations, saints, that affect our emotions. There are events and situations that affect our thinking. Even to the point that they become issues that will affect even the course of our lives. They affect our very destiny. Now, I'm reminded from Job's friend, old Eliphaz, that Temanite, over there in Job 5 and 7, where he says, yet man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, let me put it in today's lingo. As sure as that sun rises in the east, saints, trouble is definitely alive and kicking. Can I get an amen? So, saints, as Christians, we may not be exempt from these issues, those problems, those troubles. This morning in our Bible study, we were talking about adversities that Nehemiah had faced. Well, you know what? We're going to face similar adversities as well as Christians. In John 16, Jesus was telling his disciples of the troubles and the tribulations that what they would soon face. So in John 16 and 33, he left these words of encouragement and comfort to them. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Even Paul, that great apostle, when, well, you know what? He wasn't exempt from issues and troubles and adversities in his life either. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, do you all remember what Paul was struggling with? What was Paul struggling with? Yeah, thorn in the side, right? And do y'all remember what Paul did? What did Paul do? He prayed. He prayed at least three times. And he prayed three times for the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. Now, did the Lord answer his prayer? that the Lord answered his prayer. He did. Some say, no, he didn't, but he did. I'm sure that Paul didn't like the response that God initially gave him. But Paul, he expected probably a whole lot more of an answer from God. But the Lord responded in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. He says that, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, from Paul's time in his weakness, I'm sure that he learned from this experience that he didn't have to use his weakness as a crutch. He didn't have to use it as an excuse to where he may said, oh, I can't do this, or I'm unable to. Paul, he knew his destiny. He understood that the Lord could use his weakness in a powerful way to bring glory to the Lord. Perhaps through Paul's testimony, maybe it's through his encouragement and teaching to strengthen the brethren. But the bottom line is, nothing was going to deter Paul's destiny. Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, he said, therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So saints, how about us today? How about us? Are we going to allow those issues and adversities of life to deter our destiny? Or are we going to be like Paul, where he said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, who was troubled on every side, but not distressed. He was perplexed, but not in despair. He was persecuted, but Paul said, I was not forsaken. I was struck down, but you know what? I was not destroyed. So today, what is our destiny? What can deter us from our destiny? And what happens if we deter our destiny? These will be our three key points for today. What can deter us from our destiny? What is our destiny above all? And then what happens if we deter our destiny? Let's look at our first point for today. What is our destiny? But first, what does that word destiny mean? I've looked in the King James Bible. I looked it up and I couldn't find it anywhere. But I did find it, of course, in Webster's Dictionary. Amen, somebody. And in Webster's Dictionary, destiny means simply an event or situation that's predetermined, an inevitable course of events. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and hold there for me. Well, you know, saints, it was perhaps about a couple of weeks ago, maybe, when the leadership of this congregation had predetermined that someone than Brother Carter would be feeding the flock of God on this day at this appointed hour. So a call was made to Brother Kenya Durr with a plea and an invitation for myself to come and preach on this great day. And you know what? I gladly accepted that invitation. And the rest is, as we know, is history. So it is my destiny that I would be at 1600 East 84th in Stony Island today. This event was predetermined. The courses of actions was taken. The invitation was accepted. and I had to go through a process of preparation to fulfill my obligation, which would also include my travel to get here as well. And then to finally arrive to fulfill the purpose of why I am here today. So what is our destiny as Christians, as God's chosen generation, as His holy nation, His special possession? Y'all are special. Do you know that? You're God's chosen generation. We're special people. I want us to note seven key pointers to understand what our destiny is. The first one is a pre-existing condition. A pre-existing condition. The second one is a plan. A plan. The third one is a plea. The fourth one, Brother Jackson, is an invitation. The fifth one is preparation for your purpose. And then the sixth one is fulfillment. And finally, the seventh one is a reward. A reward. We love rewards, do we? You have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 3 through 14. 3 through 14. And the Bible reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His wonderful grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that He heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Amen. Now, saints, the passage of Scripture definitely contains a whole lot of meat in here. We could probably go on all day, probably to midnight, but I don't think the shepherds here will let me stay that long. They probably say, "You ain't coming back no more." But but I want us to identify those seven key pointers, if you will, to help to identify our destiny. The first one is our pre-existing condition. Our pre-existing condition. Verse 7, it talked about our sins. Our sins. Our nature to sin. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says that sin does what? Does anybody know what sin does from Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2? It separates us from God. Amen? In Romans 3 and 23, it says, for all have come short of the glory of God. Not y'all, but we've all come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is what? It's death. So, this pre-existing problem, it's pretty big. Amen? It's been with us since the beginning of time. Amen? Sin is a big thing. It's a big problem. But you know what? Number two, there's a plan. There's a plan. Thank God for the plan. So because of our pre-existing problem, saints, yet God, as it said in verse 4 here, He's chosen us even before the foundation of the world to make us holy and without fault or without blame in His eyes. Why? Why? Sometimes I wonder why. It's because God loved us so much. His love is I don't think we can even grasp God's love and how great it is. I think we can't even measure it. But I just want to just thank God that He does love us the way He does. Amen. And in verse 5 it says that it is God's plan. He planned this in advance to adopt us as His sons by Jesus Christ to make us His own. Ain't that wonderful? Old sinful us. Yet He loved us enough that He wanted to adopt us. It's just like trying to adopt some baby's kids. I don't think a lot of people up here want to adopt some baby's kids. Oh, let somebody else take them kids. No, I don't want them. We're essentially our baby's kids. We're God's children, His creation. But yet, He wants to adopt us. Even despite our rebellion, our hard-headedness, our stiff-necked self. But God loves us. Now, we may have recalled in our scripture text in Romans 8 and 30, as part of this great plan of predestination, God is going to justify us. He's going to justify us, or in other words, make us in right standing with Him again. Now, let's say, Brother Harris, we're just using this thing, you owed a great debt to ComEd. Let's say you owed about $1,000 or more. It's been about 2 months now since you paid your bill. And what is ComEd going to do now? Cut your electricity off, right? So now what's going to happen is, can't deal with the heat, so you're going to come up with that money to pay that debt off, right? So now you go and pay old Mr. ComEd his money off, and so now what happens? You're in right standing with ComEd now. They restored your service, and you will now get to enjoy uninterrupted service. This illustration is the way it is with God and us. We owed a great debt to Him, and that debt is sin. But God, the great thing about God is, instead of us having to pay it, He paid for it already through His Son. Amen? So, how was He going to carry this plan out? How was God going to carry this great plan out? John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world, right? That He gave, who? His only begotten Son. And whosoever, what? Believes in Him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. But in Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul, as I had alluded to just moments ago, said about God's rich and glorious grace. God is so rich in this kindness that He was willing to purchase, saints, our freedom from sin, that big problem of ours. And He did it with the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. But you know what? It was also God's plan to unite both Jew and Gentile, which would be us, together, according to verses 12 and 13. Now we are a part of God's family. We're united now. The next little pointer is plea. Now, I believe that we should not take God's plan lightly. We shouldn't take it for granted. In other words, if this building were to catch on fire, Lord forbid, and this room was filled with smoke, and here I am, poor little me, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to get up out of this place, but Brother Harris comes up and tells me, hey brother, I got a plan to get us out of here. Well, you think I would brush the brother off and tell him, well brother, that's okay, I'll find my own way out, or that's all right, brother. I'll just take my chances. I think I can find my way up out of here. Or, oh, Brother Harris, that's all right. I'm going to wait on the fire department to come and rescue me. Well, you know what? I don't think I'd be doing that. Amen. I'll be like a little 4-year-old child, grab my daddy by the hand and ready to go to the park and play. That's how I'm going to be like. Amen. But now, this plea is an urgent plea because it is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. John 3:16, remember what he said? Jesus said, you either perish or have eternal life. That's what he said, didn't he? It's God's plan that we come to repentance. In other words, we want to have a change of mind. Do you want to perish? Or do you want to live eternity? Do I want to stay in this building and burn? Or do I want to grab Brother Harris's hand and get up out of here? That's the choice I have. Amen? It is also God's plan that we be reconciled back to Him. Remember Isaiah 59:1-2, where the prophet said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid. He's hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that Jesus, along with his mighty angels, are coming back in a flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we shouldn't take this plea to repent, this plea to reconcile back to God lightly. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19-20, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting against them their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are his ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, or he's pleading with us by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The fourth pointer is invitation. Now, just as I've received my invitation to come here to fellowship with you today, to worship you today, to serve you today, the Lord has sent out His invitation to us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to serve Him. Remember, God's plea to us was because of our pre-existing problem, that problem of sin that we had. You know what? God, He has nothing to do with sin. God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. And God and sin does not mix. It's just like light and darkness can exist at the same time. Remember, sin separates us from Him. Amen? And God has judged sin along with anything associated with sin. It is all cursed into an everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. But you know what? Even on the other hand, it is God's plan that any should not perish, but that all saints should come to repentance. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul, he talks about trusting the word of truth which they heard, which is the gospel of our salvation. The gospel is our invitation to God's plan of salvation. So what is the gospel? Do we know what the gospel really is? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul makes this declaration where he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. "And that He was buried." He was buried. "And that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So essentially, Stony Island, the gospel that Paul is talking about here is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So, how do we accept this wonderful invitation that God has given to us? We must remember that God is He's offering us this opportunity to choose our destiny today. Do we want to perish or have instead eternal life with Him? What do you want? Even I had to choose to accept the invitation to come to be with you today, or even to decline it. But you know what? It would have been my loss if I had declined my invitation today. It's truly a blessing to be here amongst you all today. But remember what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, that the Lord is going to take vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord. He's going to take fiery vengeance on them who have not obeyed the gospel. So if you don't accept the Lord's invitation, then you know what? It's your loss. It's your loss. And it's your destiny. So how do we accept this invitation? We obey His gospel. Simple as that. And how do we obey this gospel? Y'all remember what I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's look at Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Paul says here, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus?" Were what? They were what? Baptized into His what? Death. Baptized, death. Remember that. Verse 4. "Therefore we are what? Buried with Him by what? Baptism." Buried, baptism into what? Death. "That like as Christ was what? Raised up from the what? Dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in the newness of life." Why will we walk in the newness of life? Well, because Peter says in Acts 2 and 38 that we are baptized for the remission of sins. If you just looked at what we just did, baptism and the gospel, the way Paul put it here in Romans chapter 6, is synonymous. Christ died, He was buried, He was raised. When we go in there, it's a tomb and a womb. We die to our old selves, we're buried as Christ was buried, and we're raised to the newness of life. Baptism is going to remove our sins. And in Colossians 2, 11 and 12, it talks about baptism being an operation of God. You don't have to worry about it because God is doing the work for you. Only thing we got to do is just obey. Amen? And it's through our faith that He's going to circumcise our hearts by putting off the body of sins, the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. He's going to remove that old filth, that old stuff that we had. It's going to be gone forever. And we walk in the newness of life now. So with this invitation, we get a new wardrobe as well when we gladly accept that invitation by obedience to the gospel, by baptism into Christ. We put on Christ now in baptism. But not only that, saints, our invitation is secured with a reservation, if you will, with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee, according to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Our fifth little pointer, preparation for our purpose. Preparation for our purpose. Our purpose is to fellowship with God. It's to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to serve Him through our service to others. But we must also have to, as our scripture text said in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we have to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're looking to have the mind or the attitude of Christ, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. That's what we want. We want to have that attitude of servitude. We want to have that attitude of humility and obedience to prepare ourselves for those things which is going to require. And these things is going to require for us to study the Word of God, right? It's going to require for us to meditate on God's Word, not just weekly or monthly or semi-annually. We got to be like that man over there in Psalm chapter 1 who meditates on His Word both day and night. Amen? But you know what? Even with our preparation for our purpose, we also have some calloused up knees. We got to have a strong prayer life as well. Do you have a strong prayer life? That's going to prepare you for your purpose and your destiny. But you know what? Even preparation for our purpose, we were talking about this morning about adversities. Even our life experiences that come from storms and trials and adversities, they're also going to help us to prepare us for our purpose. Trials will come to to test us and purify us and strengthen us in our faith, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Our storms will build our Christian character, such as endurance or perseverance, and it will help to mature us, according to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. But above all, saints, these experiences will help us to become better and effective witnesses for the Lord, because in your weakness, you've learned to be strong now. And you understand that all things work together for the good. And you are ready, willing, and able to strengthen your brethren. The next one is fulfillment. Fulfillment. We want to carry out what we have been destined to do. We all should have a personal ministry, and it should be according to your shape. And this word shape is actually an acrostic. The S stands for your spiritual gifts, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. It could be serving others, it could be teaching, it could be leading, it could be giving, it could be showing kindness. One of these spiritual gifts you should have, and you should be using it as part of your personal ministry. H is your heart. What are you passionate about? Do you love children? Then, if you do, then you should be doing something with children. If you like some kind of activity that you love to do, you can use that to the glory of God. Amen? Your A, this A here, stands for your ability. What can you do naturally? Maybe you're a mechanic or some kind of handyman, or you like to cook or something like that. You can use this ability as part of your personal ministry to minister to other folk. But above all, God gets the glory. Amen? P, what kind of personality do you have? Are you a bubbly personality? A friendly personality? We want to use those personalities as part of our ministry to serve others. Amen? And finally, E, what we just talked about, our experiences. Good experiences, bad experiences. They're all beneficial in your ministry, in your personal ministry, to help someone who may have been going through something that you may have gone through, both good or bad. All good, all things work for the good. Amen? Here's our seventh and final one, reward. In Ephesians 1 and 14, Paul said that God has predestined that we be rewarded with this inheritance. And what is this inheritance? Well, for one thing, it's eternal life. I want eternal life with the Lord. Do you want eternal life with the Lord today? Amen. It's also, as our scripture text in Romans 8 and 30, where he says that he will also glorify us as well. We're going to be honored when we come into those gates in glory. But you know what? We're also going to be glorified as well. We're going to have a new glorified body. No more arthritis, no more cancer, no more sickness, because we got this glorified body now. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of aches and pains. But God is going to bless us with a glorified body. That's a wonderful reward. Now let's look at our next point. What deters our destiny? What deters our destiny? Now this word deter is defined as to prevent from acting, to turn aside, to be discouraged. And I want us to quickly look at three things that may deter our destiny. And it's funny I mentioned the word discouragement, because the discouragement, as we were talking about in our lesson this morning, can definitely deter our destiny. When trials and adversities come to test us, they may take a toll on our faith in God. Can I get a witness today? We may become discouraged And we want to give up on God. And sometimes we want to just let go of His unchanging hand. If you're discouraged today, don't let your trial or Satan come and discourage you. Because you will deter your destiny, if you will. Remember this. All things work together for the good. Remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want us to remember that we are more than conquerors. I want us to remember that He will not leave you nor forsake you. I want us to remember that He will not put no more on you than you can bear. I want us to remember that there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Our next one is distractions. There are so many distractions out there in this world today that's competing with our attention. They become our desire, and they may captivate our hearts when Christ should have first place in our hearts. Saints, these distractions are such as wealth and jobs, perhaps our jobs or even our cars, hobbies, our homes, our family, even entertainment can become distractions. And they can deter our destiny if we let them. But Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, He said, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a tough decision to make, to deny our own desires and even those distractions in order that we may follow Christ. And thirdly, our decisions, which is our final deterrent. God has given us all the gift of free will, and I used to say, why, Lord, but now I thank Him for it. He's given us the free will to choose our destiny today. He has laid out His plan and purpose in plain sight. And His plan is so simple. It's so simple. But you know what? It's our pride. It's our stubbornness. It's our ignorance to God's Word and His will, as well as His purpose for us in our lives, that causes us to make those wrong decisions. Instead of trusting God and His Word, we'd rather put our confidence in our own understanding, in the traditions of men, or in worldly wisdom instead. When instead we should be trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, and we should be leaning not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we should be acknowledging Him, because He will then direct our paths. And He goes on to say that we should not be wise in our own eyes, but we should fear God and depart from evil.
Amen.
That's Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And finally, what happens if our destiny is deterred? This is our final point today, and I won't be long. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are the only ones who can deter our destiny today. It can come down to us being discouraged. It can come down to us being distracted. But it's also going to come down to what we decide to do.
Amen.
Do we follow God's plan in our lives and strive to be committed to Him faithfully? Or are we going to allow instead those storms, those adversities of life, as well as Satan, to discourage us? Are we going to allow worldly things to distract us in our lives and keep us from a knowing and growing relationship with God today. What is your decision today? What is your decision? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 and 8. I've read parts of this before, but I want to read this into your hearing. And it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." You're troubled today, you have rest. "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." As Christians, we should be knowing God more and more every day. It says over there in James, I believe chapter 2, where he discusses that even the devils believe, and they tremble with fear. But you know what? There's a lot of us who casually know God. We care less. But the bottom line is, we got to know God. This is our destiny, to know Him. To know Him intimately. To walk with Him. Just as many of the great heroes of faith walked with God. Enoch and Job. We have to come to know God. But the bottom line is, to know God, you have to obey His gospel first. Have you obeyed the gospel? How do you get to know God? Well, first, we have to hear the gospel. Romans 10 and 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We have to believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. "And whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have to repent. We have to turn from our sins. We have to turn and say to God, "You know what? I'm not going to split down this way no more. I know that this is not my destiny. You've given me a destiny, a much better way of life, and I'm turning my life over to You." We have to confess that Jesus, that sweet name Jesus, that He's our Lord and our Savior. And then, as I've been talking about all along, we have to be baptized. We must be baptized in order to obey the gospel, in order to accept the invitation that He's put out for us. Truly, God has sent a plea, a desperate plea: repent or perish. It's your choice. What is your decision for your destiny today? I encourage you, don't deter it. At this time, we're going to stand for the song of invitation. Perhaps you want to come today and give the Lord your life, or maybe you have sinned and you ask for the prayers of the church. At this time, we'll stand for our song of invitation. As